Now, if you've got this message source, as we're saying, that's, you know, weather forecasts, Harvard grades, whatever they are, but you imagine them messages coming out in sequence, and you don't have anything other information other than their frequencies, but you do have their frequencies, okay, then this is gives us what we're going to call a first-order approximation to the entropy. And we're going to explain what the second- and third-order approximations are to the entropy. The sort of zeroth-order approximation to the entropy is just counting how many different symbols there are and not even paying any attention to their frequency. And the entropy, you remember, is a measure kind of the information content of the message sequence as a whole. So if you, to compute the average self-information, which is going to be the first order entropy, you take all of the self-informations of the original, of the little parts, and just weight them by their probability. So I wrote it here as, you know, minus the sum of p log p. What this really is log of 1 over p. Log of 1 over p is minus p. Everybody remember that about logarithms? Logarithm of the reciprocal, you know, it's log of p to the minus 1, so that's minus log of p. So I put the minus sign out here and changed this 1 over p to p, and then I've weighted these by their frequency. So for our example here, so let's take our example. So the first example is where all the frequencies were the same, 0.25. Minus log p, or log 1 over p, which is the same thing, is going to be 2 in each case. We did that already. Multiply each of these by its frequency, so 0.25 times 2 is 0.5, 0.25 times 2 is 0.5, and so on. And then you add those up, and you get 2. So the first-order entropy of this message sequence is 2 bits per message, right? Which is what it should be, right? There are 4 different symbols. You don't know any. That's all the information you have. So you kind of need to use 2 bits to represent each one of them. But in the skewed case, you have 0.7.1.1.1. Minus log p turns out to be the sequences we have here, which are higher for the less frequent characters. You multiply these out, and you get these various numbers, and you add them up, and you get 1.353 in this particular case, which is something less than 2 bits per message on average. So the implication of this is that the whole sequence, those Las Vegas weather forecasts, you know, the Harvard grades that are skewed at the A end and only have relatively low frequency grades at the lower end, that message sequence, the whole source of messages, contains on average less information per individual message in the sequence. 1.3 bits of information, entropy of 1.35, at least to this first order approximation, rather than, you know, 2. So the more sort of random, you know, unstructured the sequence of messages is, the higher the information content, because the more bits it would take to explain to somebody exactly what it is. Okay, so let's do some. So the reason for going through this is that this entropy concept has something to do with compressibility, right? Remember, we're trying to squeeze the air out of the cushions before we pack them in the boxes. So the amount by which you can compress is related to the entropy of the message source. If the entropy is maximal, like the 2 bits per message for those 4 messages of equal probability, then you can't compress it. There's no redundancy to take advantage of. And the more skewed the sequence is, the more you can find clever ways of coding, which is what we're going to turn to. So low entropy means more redundant, which means more compressible. High entropy means less redundant, was less compressible. Here, to take an extremely redundant example, the one we started with last time, these sequences of yays and nays, you can write them down in 24 bits per message, but really there's only 1 bit of information. So this is a message sequence, these yays and nays occurring with equal probability, where the entropy is actually only one bit per sort of the token or whatever. Okay. So here's the connection to compression. Suppose you have a message sequence that's got lower entropy than this 2 bits per message for these four sequences. So here we've got the four symbols A, B, C, D with their skewed frequencies. And I've written down here a prefix code that you could use. A is 0, B is 10, C is 110, and D is 111. Okay, so this is completely new now. Up till now, I haven't said anything about how you encode symbols. I've just said, here's the letters, here's their frequencies, and I computed this magic number, 1.353. Now I say, and I implied, although I haven't shown you, that if the entropy is that low, there may be a way to use less than 2 bits per message for encoding it. And so let's try this one where we've used a really short code for the most frequent letter. And then for the others, we've used somewhat longer codes. B is 110, 111. So this is a prefix code. You can read it from anything from left to right. If the first bit is 0, it's got to be this. If the first bit is 1, you've got to look at the next bit. If it's 0, then it must be a B. If the first bit is a 1 and the second bit is a 1, then you can tell whether it's a C or a D by looking at the third bit. So what's the average code length if you use this sequence with these frequencies? Well, you just have to do a weighted average of 70% of length 1, 10% of length 2, 10% of length 3, and 10% of length 3. And we work that out, and that turns out to be 1.5. And you'll remember that the first order entropy, which we computed on the previous slide, was 1.353. And so we've got a way of encoding the messages that reduces the average length of the codes that we of the codes for the symbols closer to, but not all the way down to, this entropy standard. And that's going to be the entropy is going to turn out to be a lower bound on how much compression you can achieve. So I finished the, last time by mentioning that, you know, if you use English and you just use the letter frequencies, you can be just using the fact that 12% of letters are A and so on, you can find a code for the 27 letters of the Roman alphabet plus space that gets you down to about 4 bits per character instead of the 5 that you would need for a simple block code. But, you know, if you're trying to compress English. So this is the question, how much can you compress English? Now this is, why do we care about compressing in English text? Maybe I should just pause there for a moment. Who cares? You know, what's wrong with books? What's wrong with ASCII? Why do we care about compressing? Why would any computer scientist care about taking advantage of the structure of the English language in order to compress English? You know, there are guys down in Kendall Square who work on the Google Books project. Right? The Google Books project, they've scanned in as many books as they can possibly have, stuck them on computers somewhere, and when you ask for a page for one of those books sitting here in the Science Center, you know, they'll send you the page, not just the scan page, they'll send you the text, and their indexing and searching algorithms will search through those books. So they want to send them around and store them and so on using as compressed a notation as possible. So this is kind of a central problem. You can do better than the first order compression business. For example, you can take the sequences of two letters and think of them as a single symbol. Right? So if there are 26 letters plus space. You know, if you were really doing this right, you'd have more symbols for the different punctuation marks and so on, but I'm just trying to simplify a little bit. So instead of doing a frequency table for the 26, 27, those 27 symbols, do a frequency table for the 729, whatever it is, 729, which is 27 squared, two symbol combinations. AA, AB, AZ, and, you know, space A, space Z, and all the rest of that. And by the way, this is sort of what English would look like if you generated strings just according to those rules. So you had to have every two-letter combination in the output of this generative process appear in exactly the same proportion that it occurs in English text. So not only are the single-letter frequencies right, but, you know, you're never going to have QQ, because there aren't any English words that have two Qs in a row. And you're going to have a fair number of OOs and TUs and ANs, because there are lots of places in the English language where those digrams occur, as they're called. So you can do the second-order entropy calculation, and you can code, you can work out one of those codes like I just showed you for all the two-letter combinations. And it turns out if you do this, you can compress English down to about 3 bits per character, a little more than 3. So why stop there? Do trigrams. We've got computers now. Now, before the computer age, people actually did do the trigram calculation. 27 cubed is I forget what, but it's starting to be a big number if all you've got to work with is index cards and you're having to go through English text by hand and count how often the trigrams occur. This is like what graduate students were for in the old days. You get something that actually begins to look a lot like English. Demonstrors of the reptogen is recoactiona. You know, that looks a lot like English, actually. It just isn't English. It's all, the only resemblance to English is that the three-letter combinations occur in the right frequency, including overlapping ones, of course. Why stop there? We can do word approximation. So just take the symbols of your message sequence to be the, you know, whatever it is, 100,000 or so English words. I forget whether it's 100,000 or it's a few 100,000, but there's some number like that, which is, you know, the words of the English language. And just count how often the individual words occur. Representing and speedily is and good or apt or come. So they just, it's complete not gibberish, except that everything in there is an English word. And the more frequent English words occur more frequently. So there are lots of twos and ofs and so on, because they're all over the place. And every now and then you get one of these less likely, you know, furnishes, the, you know, less frequent word. There are a few of those thrown in. You can try to compress English down that way. And you can do second-order word approximations. Why stop there? So all the word diagrams now, all pairs of words now appear. Now this really looks like English. The head and in frontal attack on an English writer, that the character of this point is therefore another method for the letters, that the time of whoever told the problem for an unexpected. I mean, it sounds exactly like English, except doesn't say anything. This is text generated, keeping the correct frequencies for all pairs of English words, reflecting what they actually are in the English language. So the answer is, you know, the entropy is the limit of the information per symbol if you keep compressing this down. I'm not going to go through a more formal definition, but we're going to come back and do Shannon's game in a second at the end of the class. I want to talk for a couple minutes about Huffman coding. The answer is the entropy of the English language is about 1 bit per character.